Hello, my name is Janice Sutherland and welcome to Phenomenal Woman, where we share the success stories of women who have been there and done that. From the good, the bad, the ugly and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We will share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate the same with confidence, integrity and a smile. This week we are joined by Karen A. Norton, and Karen is a woman of many talents. From being a social worker, a newspaper columnist, a lecturer for the University of West Indies, and a counsellor, she's a very busy woman indeed. So, hi Karen, and thank you so much for joining us this week. I've done a little bio at the top of the show, but tell me a little bit more about yourself and where you come from.
Okay, thanks for having me, and good day to you and to your listeners. I'm Karen Norton. I was born in Guyana. I moved there at 16, so I'm based in Antigua ever since.
Okay.
I'm a counselor, social worker. I do research and I do all kinds of things. I love reading. I absolutely love music. I love dogs. I love nature and traveling. And I'm a woman who loves, you know, being around and talking to people.
Excellent, excellent. So you have a very diverse career from all the things you said you were doing. What has been the key motivators for your career choice?
Well, I've always loved people. That's always been my thing. You know, while other young girls love fashion and other things, people have always been what I love. From a very young age, I've always been bringing people home to my mom's house, trying to solve people's problems, trying to teach the kids she had in her school. So I love people. So all of the work I do is related to people, trying to help people to be happy and that sort of thing.
What aspect about it do you love working with people? What do you love so much about it?
Well, what the primary goal of my work, no matter which department or which function, is to help people to be happy. Like, okay. Happiness and love are like my drugs. If I could bottle happiness and love and just distribute it all over the world, that would be the one thing I could do. Happiness and love, they're like my drugs. It's my motivator for everything that I do.
Lovely, lovely. So you've had quite a diverse career, but during that period, what has been the most satisfying challenge you've had to overcome?
Satisfying challenge. I've had to overcome the challenge of myself.
Okay.
You know, when you're a counselor or an educator and you're trying to get people to be better, you have to kind of make sure that you're just not selling somebody something that's on a paper or in a book. It has to be realistic. And sometimes what happens to me is that I feel like, okay, I need to be authentic. I can't be telling people things and then I can't apply it to my life. Okay. So like when I have challenges with like my weight loss or when I struggle with depression, I feel like, okay, I'm not being successful. How can I tell people to do these things and I can't apply it to me? So that has been a challenge, wanting to be authentic and to sell people things that actually work. So I've had to kind of understand that I am human and I'm going to struggle too. And that has been a challenge that I've been able to overcome.
Okay.
Accepting my own humanity.
And when you get to those situations, have times that when you're faced with your own personal challenges, share with us what kind of steps you would take to get yourself through to the other side, so to speak.
Well, I do a lot of self-talk. I don't know if people look at me and think I'm crazy.
Is that allowed?
I keep talking to myself a lot, because what I realize with me and most women and males is that a lot of the times the things we go through, a lot of the times is what we tell ourselves.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's like we tell ourselves so many things before we even reach halfway through life. Yeah, so yeah. I'm using a lot of self-talk and that helps. And I also try to see myself the way other people see me.
Okay.
Because I get a lot of notes and WhatsApp and messages from teenagers who would say, oh, I love the way you talk. You inspired me. You helped me. You were this and that. And I feel like, no, I'm not all that. You know, I don't see everything. So sometimes when I'm in a situation, I imagine that one of those young persons were with me and how they're seeing me. And I don't want to fail them or let them down.
Yeah,
so I act in a way that they see me, kind of thing, like sort of like, you be who you want to be and not just who you are.
Yes.
That's one of the things that helps me.
Yeah. I mean, we all have very fierce, we can have very fierce inner critics, and we are probably our own worst enemy. For me, the way I would get around is literally sometimes challenge that critic and say, okay, what are the facts? I can't do that, for instance.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll incorporate that. Thanks.
Yeah. So has there been a time when you've confronted a challenge and things have gone horribly wrong? So how do you cope with these situations and regain your confidence?
Yes, there are times that things didn't go the way I wanted them to, because sometimes I think in an effort to prove myself and in an effort to do everything, sometimes I take on too much.
Okay.
And then when I take on too much, I realize that I can't do it all.
Right.
So I've had to say to myself, no, I have to give up on something that matters to me,
yes,
just so that I can be able to give my best to something. In other words, yes, I might try to do 8 things because I love all 8. And sometimes I tell myself I wear a cape and a crown, you know, I'm a superwoman.
Yeah.
And then I have to say, no, you can't. So it means giving up something that I really love to be able to focus on things that really matter.
Yeah.
And that's difficult.
Yeah. So it's just prioritizing and sometimes recognizing our limitations at that point in time and just prioritizing what we can focus on. Okay.
Yes,
so
it's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. Very, very hard. It comes with a big, big skill. Yes. If you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
Well, one of the things, sometimes I have some little regrets. I don't know if I don't know, but you know, like, okay, I wanted to go to school early, like to do my bachelor's, my master's and all these things. And I remember when I was like 20, I started undergrad in like 23. I was dating, like there were guys who were showing interest, you know?
Yes, yes.
When I talked to them about school, it didn't seem like that was a priority.
Right.
So I left Antigua and I went away to school. And after that, I worked and went to do masters and worked. And sometimes I feel like I wish I had done like some of my friends and like formed a solid relationship first before I went to school. So now I would have like the husband, the children and all that. And now I don't. I mean, one big dream has come true in that I have a career I love and a jobs that I love. But sometimes I wish I had chosen love before the career, so that I would have both.
Yeah.
But who knows, like, where that path would have taken me? Yeah. I don't know. But that goes through my mind all the time.
And personally, I think it's never too late. It's never too late. The right person comes along at the right time.
Okay. Thank you.
So you said you read a lot, and through those books, are there any success quotes or mantras that you use, and tell us why it's meaningful to you?
One of the things, like what I have on my WhatsApp, you know, that part where you can put a little quotation.
Yes, yes.
One of the things there that says, our prime purpose in life is to help persons. Mm-hmm. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them.
Yes.
Like, that's been one of the guiding principles of my life. And another one I repeat all the time and I have written everywhere is be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. Like, I write it, I have it like all over the place.
Yes, yes. And right now, what's setting your soul on fire?
When I see the smile on people's faces, when I go and do a talk and I have these teenagers come up to me after and say, wow, you did this, how can I do that? When I have students who want to pursue a career in something I've done and they come and ask, can I talk to you so I can figure out how to get from where I am to where I want to be? Those are the things that set my soul on fire. Being able to write and help so many people and get emails in my inbox every week where somebody's saying that what you said to me made a difference.
Yes.
It made me change. I mean, that's like life itself. Being able to like make a difference in somebody else's life.
Excellent. And you talked about the teenagers when you give talks at schools and things. What advice would you give to your teenage self now?
Well, if I were to like go back, I would tell myself, look, try to form good habits. Because I'm realizing that these habits that we have, habits are so hard to change.
Yes.
Like when you do something as easily as you breathe, how do you change? So I wish when I was a teenager, I had started to develop better habits in terms of taking care of myself physically. I wish I had done better in terms of finances. I wish somebody or I myself had said to me, start planning your life, start investing, start taking care of your body.
Yes.
Like, I wish I had known those things when I was younger.
Okay.
Instead of knowing 40s, in my 40s, trying to catch up, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. I still think it's never too late, though. I still think it's never too late.
Well, you're very inspirational. I need to have you on my current team. You motivate me.
So if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Well, I actually have a mentor.
Okay.
It's a male, and the reason I chose him is because, and he's not even in my field of work.
Right.
So it wasn't even about a job.
Yes.
It was about who he was as a person.
Okay.
When he put his mind to something, it's like he conquered it.
Right.
And I liked that attitude. I liked the confidence. I liked the fact that he could hone in on something and give it complete focus.
Right.
And I spent a lot of time with him trying to figure out, how do I do that? Because
yes.
I'm terribly disorganized and unfocused, like I mentioned earlier, always trying to multitask.
Yes.
So I spend time with people, and in this case, that person, who could teach me, how do you focus on a goal? How do
yes.
you work at something single-mindedly
yeah.
until you excel at it and then you
yeah.
move on to something else?
Yeah.
And because of his guidance, I was able to discipline myself to sit and write my books, and he was the editor and very helpful.
Yeah.
And that means a lot to me, to be able to have a mentor in my life.
And could you share the one key tip he gave you to get you that focus?
Well, this is not anything bookish, but he says to me all the time, you need to just sit down and not move for 30 minutes.
Very much, yes.
Yes. And when you sit for 30 minutes and you know you're not going anywhere, then you have to just do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's not me. I'm like always all over the place.
Yeah. And I would add to that to maybe also avoid distractions, because again, we get so, when we were talking off air, we have so many things distracting us, emails, social media, the phone. So sometimes it's very difficult to find those 30 minutes of just solitude where we're just focused on one thing.
Yes, you're right. And because I'm in the helping profession, I sometimes feel guilty if I have to say no to somebody.
Yes,
but I have to realize that I can't be everything to everybody all the time.
Yeah,
sometimes I have to focus. So,
excellent. So what would you say are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Oh, during my career, I've learned that I'm an introvert.
Okay.
Which is difficult for most people to understand, because I love people so much.
Yes.
But I realize that if I don't get alone time every day, feel frazzled and overwhelmed and physically sick.
Yes.
So I love people as much as possible. I can talk, laugh, play all day. But when it reaches a certain time, I need to come apart and I need to be alone to sort of recharge. Yeah. So I've learned that about myself.
Yeah.
I've learned that I'm capable of, like, I really underestimate myself.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned is I'm capable of a lot more than I give myself credit for. And I discovered that by listening to how other people describe me. It's quite embarrassing sometimes, like when you have to give a bio, or when somebody else writes your bio, or they tell you what they think of you. It's very humbling. And I've learned that stop trying to, like, minimize myself, to not feel as if I am grandiose or something. So that's the second thing I've learned. The third one, what else have I learned? I've learned that I have to have balance in my life, because sometimes I give too much.
Okay.
Yeah, and people take when you give.
Yes.
They don't say, okay, stop, I've had enough. They just take and take and take if you give and give and give, you know.
So what I'm hearing from there is that self-care is very important for you.
Yes.
Yeah, and I totally, totally agree with that. And that there are some times where you've played small, we're not realizing your own how good you are, and how, you know, and I think as women we tend to do that a lot, about playing small, not realizing our own how high we can reach. And
and there's an author that wrote about that, the girl Williamson in Return to Happiness.
Yes.
Say not to dim your light, to kind of, you know, I remember that quotation.
Yes. So, and you talked about having balance in your life. So, and you're a very busy woman from all the things you said you did. So what would be your key piece of advice for maintaining a work-life balance?
I think what I always tell people when I talk about wellness and self-care and balance is that you need to know, make a list, discover what are the things that make you happy, yes, and try to do at least one every day. It's not even about the length of time you do it for, but maybe just like the quality rather than the quantity. But yes, you need to know what makes you happy, yes, and do yes every day.
Yes.
And one of the other things that with balance is like knowing, like having the right relationships.
Yes.
Spending time with the right people. Because if I spend time with people who constantly drain me, I'm not ever feeling like I have downtime. Yes. I need to spend time with people who feed my soul.
Yes.
And I need to spend time with people who are encouraging and motivation and say the right things. Because yes, if you're with a group of complainers all the time, what are you going to do? Complain, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So those are the two things to me. Knowing what makes me happy and at least once a day doing one of them. Yeah. And spending time with the right people who you leave feeling, yeah, wow, I can conquer the world, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mother-in-law has a very good a saying that misery loves company, and you're very right. We exactly need people that uplift us,
yes,
and can understand the journey we're on and not bring us, yes, down but support us.
Yes, definitely. So, support.
Yes. So what's your definition of success? What does success look like for you?
For me, success is like waking up every day and being excited about what I have to do. And at the end of the day, when I lay down in my bed to feel like, okay, like go to bed with a smile on my face, feeling like I've accomplished something and I've been able to make the world a better place. Because a lot of times, a lot of people, they just dread having to get up and get out there, yes, and to show up in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've gone on Facebook and other places and see friends of mine post like, oh, I'm on the plantation again. Or they're at work and it's 9 o'clock and they're saying, oh, my 4:30, where are you? You know, I never want to have that experience in my life. I want to wake up every day excited about what I have to do. I mean, of course, there are going to be days when you want to stay in bed.
Yes.
But generally speaking, I want to face every day with excitement and hope and the thought that I could make a difference.
Yeah. And it's great that you get to do that, because as you said, not many people, not everybody gets to do that in life. So kudos to you.
Yes.
So lastly, Corin, what does it mean to be your own hero?
Oh, be my own hero. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. To be my own hero would mean showing up for myself.
Yes.
Being able to strike a balance between giving and giving and still understanding that I need me too. It would mean silencing my inner critic, like,
yes,
telling myself, you're beautiful, even if you're overweight, you're still worthwhile, valuable.
Yes.
Beauty comes in different shapes and forms.
Yes, yes.
Being compassionate with myself, you know, making sure I get enough sleep, making sure I eat properly, making sure I say no. So being my own hero would mean showing up in my life and giving myself all the things that I would give to somebody else.
Now I know I said that was the last question, but you just took on something just there, and you said about being able to say no. And that's something I find many women really struggle to do.
Yes.
I've learned how to say it, but what would be your tip in helping women to say no?
Well, I always teach women, first of all, to use a sandwich technique, you know.
Yes.
If you have,
yes,
to say no to something, you don't have to come right out and say no. You can say, look, that sounds like a worthwhile project, but I'm not available right now. However, I can donate $10. Or I'm not available right now, but maybe if you check me in 6 weeks, I have an opening at that time.
Yes.
So that,
yes,
it means being able to understand that you will not be able to do everything everybody wants you to do.
Yes.
And we need to give up that superwoman complex or syndrome that tells you that you're a bad person if you can't,
yes,
take care of everybody and if you can't give everything. People actually understand when you say,
yeah,
no. And,
yes,
you're actually teaching them a valuable lesson too about respect, boundaries, self-care and all these sorts of things. So I think it's okay to say no sometimes, because,
yeah,
especially to like my problem, when you try to do too much, even if you have to do two things and do them well, it's better than trying to do 10 things and all of them,
yes,
are done like,
yeah,
in a lackadaisical,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was great. That was my love. That definitely was my last question. But so it's been a delight talking to you this morning. If any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, is there any way they can do that?
Okay, I have a public email address, okay. And it's askkoren@live.com, askkoren@live.com. And that's where I get most of my public emails and stuff like that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Koren. Thank you.
And thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, and thanks for highlighting all these important issues. You've given me a lot of food for thought.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. It's my pleasure to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women like yourself who want to live their life to the fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. Remember, you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative and you have the power to give your story a happy ending, so own it. Visit JaniceSutherland.com for more information on how I can help empower you to transform your dreams into action. And if you've liked what you've heard today, please share this with all the other phenomenal women you know. Until next time.